We're excited. Can't wait to get started.
Live on tape at WGN TV Studios in Chicago. Festivus.
When it's over is the best. That's my favorite.
Who is Marcus Leshock?
Les is more with him. You know, we're going to put him in positions where he can be successful. Not a lot of thinking.
And Steve Lippo.
For the love of God, don't start Cam Newton over matchup.
Stupid!
The Fantasy Festivus.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what, he's always like a forgotten man.
A fantasy sports podcast for the rest of
us. Shut up.
Yo. What's up?
The sounds of my bedtime music playing through.
You love it. You love this.
If I could play one video game for the rest of my life, it's not even a question. Tecmo Super Bowl.
How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling really good. I'm excited. We're back another week on the Fantasy Festivus. We got a lot of stuff planned. Let's run it down. Marcus, yeah. What do we got for the people this week?
First of all, I'm Marcus Leshock, feature reporter here at WGN.
That is who he is.
Joined by?
Steve Lippo, sports producer. We'll say extraordinaire.
And today, on today's edition of the Fantasy Football Festivus, we're going to discuss the impact and fantasy ramifications of Fail Mary.
Oh, boy.
Wow, yeah, it was rough last night. Remember when the Bears played the Rams? You know that happened?
It did.
It's hard to imagine anything happened before what happened last
Nobody
night.
Nobody cares anymore.
We're going to recap that game, even if you don't care. And if you're a Michael Bush owner, you need to hear some of the injury talk coming out of Hallis Hall. You've got the scoop on that.
I do.
Or possible scoop. But speaking of injuries, C.J. Spiller, Darius Heyward-Bey, Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, a very, very active day on the weekend on the injury front. We're going to have some updates heading into Week 4. All that and a look at Bears-Cowboys. Boys and some predictions sure to fail. And speaking of fail,
oh boy,
looking, still waiting. Hit as he lets it go into the left side of the end zone for a jump ball. And is it caught in the end zone? Touchdown!
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
After further ado, the call on the field stands. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me.
That's unbelievable.
That was awesome.
How did that get in there?
Fail Mary, touchception, refpocalypse. I don't know what you want to call it, but for the Bears, a gift from the football gods.
I will say, and it's horrible to say for everybody in Wisconsin and Packers fans across the world, I love huge fails like this. When huge catastrophic events in fail occur.
This is as bad as it gets.
I love it. I just love the chaos that ensues. I loved when the one ref threw up his touchdown, the other ref was like, no, it's a touchback. And then the main ref goes to review the play, and he says, the ruling on the field stands. Well, what ruling?
What was the ruling? you didn't rule. You ruled two things.
Yeah, it was all kinds of awesome. I mean, it was just
Twitter
awesome.
Exploded. I don't even know what to say. Marcus, you went crazy on Twitter. I sat back and just watched it all develop, and the NFL just exploded.
And the tweets that were coming in from people were just hilarious.
I mean,
people were really funny. We all laugh at it because that's just a game. It's just a football game. Some people lost money gambling, sure, and fantasy teams were ruined. There was a lot of lost sleep last night, I'm sure, in that regard. But, you know, these football players, this is their this is their livelihood.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
No, I can't.
You love this so much.
I do. I really do. It's a couple guys throwing around a ball. Yeah, they're making money doing it, but it was all kinds of just
actually
ridiculous.
I looked up the numbers. $92 million swung in Vegas because of the last touchdown, from winning to losing to winning. $92 million, and about 85,000 fantasy matchups on Yahoo and ESPN combined. 85,000 matchups were determined by the last play.
Wow, that.
As bad as you feel as a fantasy owner, knowing that you lost on a bogus call, I still probably feel, not probably, I do feel worse.
You're a guy who covers the Bears. You're out there at Hallis Hall. What do you think? I mean, obviously you don't have a direct line to the commissioner. At least I don't think you do.
Not yet.
Do you think that this has got to be it, right? I mean, the overall consensus seems to be that this has to be it. I mean, there's the league has to agree with the refs and get them back in a couple of weeks.
See, I think that's the common thread of thought, is that this was so bad, such an injustice, that they have to get the deal done and get the regular refs back out there. But you know what? The NFL released a statement. Today is Tuesday. We're taping this Tuesday. Yes. They released it today. They released a statement that said, we're sticking with the call and the review, which was bogus, and everyone knows the Packers right. got jobbed. The NFL is so set in their ways that they are in the right on these replacement refs that I'm not sure this is it.
Well, and here's what the NFL is arguing. They're saying that it was a combined catch. They both caught the ball at the same time.
But the replays...
and in that case, let me just finish. In that case, the tie goes to the offense. It goes to the receiver in the end
yes.
zone.
In the actual NFL rules, yes. The tie would go to the
offensive
player.
They're saying that was the call on the field of touchdown.
But it wasn't.
Right. Well, it was one of the calls.
Sure. If that's what the guy actually thought he was calling, which I don't think it is.
And so they're saying that they, upon looking at the review, that it was indeed the right call. I don't know how you can possibly look at that and say that, but they did say, to their credit, that there was obvious offensive pass interference not called, which happens a lot on Hail Marys.
It does. The last play of the game, guys are shoving all over the place. Usually nothing gets called.
That was pretty obvious, though.
It was very obvious. Yeah. Golden Tate shoved one of the Packers defenders to the ground. Look, the Packers got jobbed. The Bears benefited. Bears fans rejoice. Packers fans be extremely angry. You are right in your ways to hate the NFL until next Sunday.
I was listening to WTMJ. Credit to them for that Wayne Larrivee clip that we listened to there.
WTMJ Milwaukee.
That's correct. Right, 6:20 a.m. I was listening to them on the way into work today, and just Packer fan after Packer fan calling in. One guy calls in, says, I'm taking the whole week off. I can't work this week. I'm too distraught. Many other Packer fans saying they're going to boycott the rest of the season. They're not going to give the NFL another dime of their money. They're not going to the stadium, which I think is the dumbest possible thing they could do, because why are you going to punish your team anymore by not showing up to watch them play?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I just don't think that's going to happen. People are saying, well, this is the end of the NFL. People are going to stop watching football now. I disagree. I think more people are going to tune in, because the average person is going to be like, I want to see these ridiculous refs ruin this game.
You know what? I had a friend, probably my favorite post on Twitter right after the game, was one of my friends essentially compared the NFL refs to WWE wrestling refs.
Yeah,
now,
that's it. Right.
That anything can happen. you just have to expect the unexpected. Like, oh my God, is that the NFL refs' music? Here they come down to the ring, and chaos is going to ensue.
So let's talk about the Bears really quick, because that did happen on Sunday.
It did.
I think all this has taken the attention off of the Bears offense, which really kind of sputtered again.
It did.
It's off to its annual start of sort of looking good at times, and then it doesn't look good, and then they seem to right the ship in week 4 or 5. So just what did you see out of the Bears on Sunday against the Rams?
Well, they dialed it down. They gave Jamarcus Webb some help on the left side, which obviously gave Jay Cutler a little bit more time to throw, but in giving help to the left side of the line, you have less receivers in the passing pattern, and guys couldn't get open.
He didn't look so sharp either.
He missed some throws. But you also had, you know, as we've seen the first couple of weeks, some drop passes as well. It's kind of a combo. They just look kind of rusty still. And right. I don't know how much you can put on not having Matt Forte, such a dynamic part of the offense. You know, we mentioned Michael Bush. Michael Bush was running very well, ran for a touchdown early in the game, but then he sort of disappeared towards the end of the game. You got a little more Khalil Bell, and the Bears are not admitting anything. Lovie Smith wouldn't even go so far as to say he's hurt. But Ryan Grant, former Packer, former Notre Dame star, and also, I learned, Jacob Hester, the Anvil, as the backup running back in San Diego, got cut earlier this year. They tried out both those guys.
No relation, right?
To
Devin Hester?
No. Okay. He's white.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Jacob Hester's white.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
So I'm going to say no.
Adoption? I don't know.
Jacob Hester and Ryan Grant both in for workouts, which leads me to believe that they're not fully ready to say Michael Bush is even going to play next week because they would have to sign another back. Right now, the only backs on the roster are Bush, Khalil Bell, and Armando Allen. And if they go into the game, I mean, Khalil Bell, they cut before the year started and had to bring him back when Forte got hurt.
Do you think maybe Michael Bush will play, but they're just working these guys out to replace Khalil Bell?
No, no. Khalil Bell's fine. Okay. Khalil Bell is – they're not going to cut Khalil Bell. He took the league minimum.
But they already cut Khalil Bell.
Yeah, they cut Khalil – here's the reason they cut Khalil Bell is because Khalil Bell was going to make like $1.7 million. And they said, we don't want to pay you $1.7 million. We want to pay you $700,000. So take a pay cut or we're going to cut you. He actually flew with the team to New York for the preseason game and got off the plane. They said, take the pay cut or we're sending you right back home.
Did they meet him at the gate?
Yes. This is really what happened.
They met him at the gate.
He never left the airport. This is an actual story.
It's really not funny.
He said, no, I'm not taking the pay cut. They said, okay, you can go back home. And they sent him packing.
Did they at least fly him first class?
I doubtful. I think he probably had to find his own way home. This is the business of the NFL. So wow. Khalil Bell doesn't take the pay cut to $700K. They cut him, and then Forte gets hurt. First person they call, Khalil Bell. They said, we'll give you the league minimum. And he's making $615,000.
So it all worked out.
Minus $85,000 for Khalil Bell. But no, Khalil Bell's fine. The only reason they're working these guys out is because they're worried about Michael Bush, which means you should also be worried about Michael Bush. We'll have plenty more info as the week goes on, but know that the Bears aren't so sure things are okay, which means he may have a what it looked like in the game, concussion-related injury, maybe. Maybe. So, pure speculation. But it's a possibility.
We'll get to the Bears and Cowboys and the matchups a little bit later.
We will.
You want to go through some of these injuries now that we're talking about injuries.
Yeah, we had a whole lineup of guys we're going to have to keep an eye on. There's only a few guys we know are not for sure not going to play next week. And those guys you saw take a big licking last week, including
Matt Stafford, the quarterback of the Lions. He actually left this game.
Hamstring.
And Sean Hill came in. It is Sean Hill, right?
It is Sean Hill.
Sean Hill. Or is it... They said Sean King.
It's not Sean King. It's Sean Hill.
Yeah, he came in, and he looked pretty good. I mean, he really threw some touchdown passes. He threw that big Hail Mary at the end of the game.
He's like the new John Kitna. Remember when the Lions had John Kitna backing up Matt Stafford, and he would come in and look almost better
at
times?
Did I say Sean Hill looked good? I shouldn't have said that.
No, he looked fine.
I don't know. I don't trust him at all. But anyway.
He led him to overtime. He brought him all the way back, and they still lost.
Matt Stafford's getting looked at. We both kind of think this won't be a big issue.
But definitely something to keep an eye on.
You definitely want to keep looking at on the week. He was scheduled to have an MRI and just look at to see if he's going to need to miss any time. But
well, you know, because everyone knows Matt Stafford's a quick healer.
I know. Yeah. And he wasn't injury prone before he got to the NFL, right?
No.
He wasn't. And then he's had a lot of bad luck with that.
Yeah.
CJ Spiller, obviously one of the biggest injuries of the weekend because he was looking like the biggest breakout star of the year.
Well, it looked really bad when it happened.
It looked terrible. He was carted off. People were thinking maybe his collarbone, like a Ryan Matthews style injury. It looks like he's going to miss a week at least, right?
Yeah, a week, maybe two. It's a sprain of the AC joint in the shoulder, which is... probably best case scenario for what it looks like when it happens. Essentially, it's a pretty quick injury to come back from. It just looks really painful when it happens. So, but when CJ Spiller does come back in a couple weeks, Fred Jackson will be back. Who knows what happens there? If you're looking for a running back fill in for 1 week, Tashard Choice, former Cowboy, is your third string running back in Buffalo.
Gosh, if you're going there though, but hey, if he's gonna have all the work,
someone needs it.
Reggie Bush has an ankle injury. Doesn't look bad, according to ProFootballTalk.com.
Which is good, because he's looked really, really good the last couple weeks.
He's also going to have an MRI. So he was scheduled to have an MRI. So take a look at...
definitely keep an eye on him.
Keep an eye on him. Julio Jones, he left his game for a little while, but then he returned to the game.
Yeah, I think he actually caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looked like he was out, but then just when you thought he was out, he comes back in.
He's a tough kid.
Willis McGahee, he left with a rib injury, did not get back in the game.
The injury-prone Willis McGahee.
That's another guy you got to keep check on his status throughout the week because those rib injuries are just painful.
For running backs, very bad.
Yeah, so he might miss some time. And, you know, Noshon Moreno, he's also – is he hurt still?
No, he's back.
He's back. Okay, so – but then you've got Lance Ball there.
They got a lot of guys there.
Yeah, so that's something you definitely want to keep an eye on. But if Willis McGahee does play, he's definitely their best option, in my opinion.
True, agreed.
Miles Austin left with an apparent rib injury. He was able to return. X-rays were negative during the game. He should be good to go. I guess Kenny Britt rolled his ankle in the Titans win, but he looked okay during the game. Keep your eye on that. Jared Cook, he left with a shoulder injury. A lot of injuries during that game.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out on him. He's having an MRI. Julian Edelman, of course, he's been a big guy taking targets away from Wes Welker. I know that because I own Wes Welker.
Hey, Wes Welker, 140 something yards this week. Let's not rip on Wes Welker.
Again, I know he had a good game.
He did.
He did a good game, but he's got to get in the end zone. Come on, Wes
Welker.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Severity of this injury unknown. Check back this week. So definitely keep your eye out on that.
That's a pretty long list.
There's a lot. Darius Heyward-Bey.
Oh, he got knocked out.
That was a terrible injury.
You have Darius Heyward-Bey, you're pretty safe to either stash him in the last spot in your bench or go ahead and drop him, because really he wasn't that much of a fantasy factor anyway. Hope he's okay. Reports say he's going to make a full recovery, but he got blasted.
He did. That was a really scary play. Austin Colley, talk about a guy who's just fantasy bad luck.
You know who he is?
Who?
He's the new Tom Waddle.
Yeah,
Tom Waddle back in the day took more vicious shots than anyone I can remember. They, you know, small, white guy, not too fast. Hey, I got an idea. Let's send you right over the middle and throw one high and see what happens.
I feel like Austin Colley's injuries have been a lot more severe, though.
Yeah, well, I think they're more severe because people know how to diagnose right. severe injuries.
I know, that's true.
A little bit more these days. I'm sure Waddle had just as many bad ones back in the day.
Anyway, he's
done for the year.
He hurt his knee, right? He came back after all these concussions.
It's not his head, so...
No, he got a serious knee injury. He's done. He's out for the year.
He's trying to avoid getting his head taken off and turned his knee the wrong way, and he's out for the year.
So there you go. Those are the big ones, I think.
Yeah, you know, going back to the Packers game from
right.
Monday night.
Yep.
Obviously, big implications in the NFL, but also... big implications
in the Fantasy Festivus
League. Our Fantasy Festivus League. I'm just jumping in to brag once again because it's what I seem to do. Going into the Monday night game, WGM web producer Anna Roberts undefeated.
Lucky Lamborghinis.
Myself undefeated, both 2-0, and we were pretty much dead even. Anna had quarterback Aaron Rodgers, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, and me, lowly me, with the Seattle defense. That's it. Just the Seattle defense, and I won. I don't know how. It's the most ridiculous thing. It never should have happened. My condolences to the lucky Lamborghinis.
What's crazy is if Seattle defense had 4 sacks instead of 8 sacks,
yeah,
you'd have lost.
I won by 3 points.
And what's even worse, who is the quarterback on her bench?
It's Russell Wilson.
Russell Fail Mary Wilson.
Oh, you can't make this up.
She would have started Russell Wilson, she would have had enough points. Barely.
I won by 3 points. Russell Wilson scored 4.2 points more than Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. And I told her today, because she's a huge Packers fan. This is like her worst nightmare.
She's not going to bench her Packers.
No, and it's one of those things in fantasy where you still feel good after the loss because there's nothing you would have done differently.
No.
And even though my team is 0-3 in the league, yes, 0-3,
brought it up yourself. I'm impressed.
I am in the acceptance stage. There's nothing I could have done differently. I could have drafted completely differently and been in a much better position, but now it's too late. So there's nothing I could have done as far as my starting lineup to make a better,
a
better team.
Start slow, finish strong.
It's been a rough year in this league. It's been a very rough year. No, it's been good for you. Everything is coming up lipo. It is. Everything is coming up lipo. What else happened in the league?
You know, the only other undefeated team is our resident man of the cloth. The Displains Destroyers, our motorcycle riding pastor, is also 3-0. Congratulations to him for also staying undefeated.
Praise him.
Yes. Praise.
Is his church accepting new members? And what do I need to do to join?
He prayed to the Church of Jamal Charles this week.
and
the Bears defense, which got those two, the Bears defense and Jamal Charles, more than half of the points for the Displains Destroyers, keeping him undefeated. And with a terrible Phillip Rivers and other terrible guys.
Let me ask you this. Are you selling high on Jamal Charles this week? Because that was a ridiculous week. 217 on the ground, or more than that, I think. At least 220 on the ground, something like that. Another 40 or so in the air, just 30-plus fantasy points. Are you selling high on him this
week? I have some inside info, which I'm not sure he's going to be happy I'm sharing. But I've been offered a trade. Jamal Charles for LeSean McCoy.
Well, this is a very talkative league, and he has... which, we're probably breaking all kinds of code of ethics here.
That's okay.
But you're not the only person he's offered Jamal Charles to.
No, I'm rejecting the hell out of that trade. I haven't done it yet.
And it wasn't to me.
I know he listens to the podcast. I might wait for him to listen, then bring up the fact I haven't rejected the trade
now,
yet.
Who did he... I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Who did he...
He wants LeSean McCoy.
Straight up?
Straight up. I'm not doing that.
Why not?
Because, no, I'm not doing that.
So you're still believing in the Eagles?
Yes. Oh, I'm still believing in LeSean McCoy. I'm not necessarily believing in the Eagles, but I'm believing in LeSean McCoy. I know he had a bad week, but the Eagles got down really, really fast to the Cardinals. And when teams go down really quick, they don't run the ball.
Which happened to me with Ryan Matthews this week in San
Diego. You can't expect running backs to magically get points when their team's down 21-0. So I don't feel bad about it. It's just the way the game went. I don't think the Eagles will go down that fast that quick. At least I hope not.
So who would you be willing to get rid of Jamal Charles for?
He's trying
to make deals like that. That makes sense.
It's great strategy. He's doing the right thing. He's taking a back that went in second, maybe third round, coming off the high week. In any other league, if I had Jamal Charles, I'd probably be trying to do the same thing. You're trying to upgrade. You're trying to say, hey, look, here's a top-tier back who maybe hasn't had a great start to the season either. And you're just trying to catch a guy maybe in the right mood, thinking, hey, you know what? It's worth a shot. Let's do it.
You might want to try to trade for the running back who's playing the Saints every week.
No kidding.
That might be a good move.
Oh, man. Yeah, the Saints D. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, so any other big news in the league?
You know what? Not any other huge. You know what? The one thing I did want to bring up, Torrey Smith, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Who lost his brother this week.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot, killed, tragic, and came out, scored 2 touchdowns. Sometimes we lose focus on real life.
Yep.
And great for fantasy and great in real life for Torrey Smith to overcome that and have a great game.
Is he on my team in this league?
No, he's on the Jerry Curls, who got smoked, despite Torrey Smith, by Foster the People, Billy, who had a massive week from Ben Roethlisberger, AJ Green, pick up Andre Brown, the Thursday night game, dropped 25.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a huge week all around.
In a couple of other leagues, so I asked, I have Torrey Smith, and I had him starting, but then earlier in the day, I heard that he left the team.
No, did you bench him?
Yeah, I did. But I was not around to restart him. Like, by the time it was too late by the time I heard. Now, it was awesome to watch. I was sad I didn't start him, but it was really cool for him. I was happy to see that.
It's a great story. But, congratulations to Displains Destroyers and myself being the only undefeated teams. And WGN Morning TD Show, feel bad for him. He's got more points than 5 or 6 other teams who have actually won games.
Is he 0-3?
He is 0-3.
Wow, that stinks.
That's a rough go. And
bummer.
Marcus and 1 in a Million still bringing up.
I'm still ready to have that break. I got Tom Brady. I've got Ryan Matthews. I say this every week.
It's time to turn it around.
Bears Cowboys coming up this week.
Monday nighter.
Fantasy value of this game first. What do you think?
Well, I'm worried about the Bears offense in this one. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually worried about both offenses in this one. The Cowboys' strength is their secondary so far this year, and if the Bears are starting a third-string running back or even a second-string running back, Michael Bush proved he can carry the load, but if he's a little dinged up, maybe they're not going to be able to rely on him full-time, and maybe Khalil Bell gets some more carries. I could definitely see a timeshare there, and I could see Cutler struggle again to succeed through the air. So I'm a little worried there, and the Bears' defense has been playing great on all accounts. So the Cowboys' offense did not exactly look great last week either. So I could see a defensive struggle in this one. I thought there'd be a lot of scoring last week, but the Bears' defense proved me wrong. And this could be a rough game offensively for both teams.
I didn't think I would say this early, but I'm almost in a wait-and-see approach with the Bears right now and the Cowboys and the Cowboys as well, where, I mean, Brandon Marshall is a guy you drafted pretty high, but at this point, if you've got another option like a Danny Amendola on your bench, you might want to start him instead of Brandon Marshall or a Dez Bryant, in my opinion. Both of those guys, I don't know. I mean, they could really prove me wrong.
They're matchup worthy. If you've got a better matchup on the bench, they've officially hit the level of worth considering benching. You know, I'm of the camp where you start your number one guy or number two guy every week as much as possible, no matter the matchup. But if they keep failing you a couple weeks in a row, then maybe it's time to start thinking, hey, if you've got someone playing the Saints defense or playing another bad defense, might be worth giving them a go.
Yeah, and I think the Bears offense is going to click eventually. And
you know what?
They could go on a run.
That's the thing. I feel like this game might be a low-scoring game, but at the same time, you have two offenses who could come out and throw 40 points on the board out of nowhere. So I'm going to predict a low score, but I wouldn't be surprised if either offense clicks and goes nuts.
Well, let's hear the prediction. What's your prediction?
My prediction is 23-13 Cowboys.
Ooh. So the Bears are going to lose pretty handily.
I like the home team. The replacement refs have proved that there is a decisive home field advantage, and I'm going to ride it.
I think the Cowboys defense, while stacked full of talent, they do have some very good players on their defense. I feel like in big games, they tend to get porous. Is that a right word to use?
Sure, that's okay.
I think the Bears are going to surprise people, and I'm predicting a 27-17 win for the Bears.
Okay, Bears
which
win.
Completely contradicted every bit of advice I just gave on why not to start the Bears. But
in your heart, you are a Bears fan,
either
and you are going
I
with
I like
them.
It this way because in one way I'm right. All right, anything else you want to add going into week four? Any other last minute advice?
I'm excited for week four. I have no business being undefeated, but I will try and keep the streak going. Marcus, I hope you get off the schneid, get a win this week.
I deserve
it. I'm rooting for you.
All right, we'll see you.